I thought church was church. You mean there's Methodist, there's Presbyterian? Like, wait, what am I supposed to do here? You know, it's like an overload. Like, okay, yeah, I want to become a Christian. And they're like, well, what kind of Christian you want to become? Like, where do you want to go? And I think that that's where a lot of people just were like, oh, I thought I was just going to church. Mm-hmm.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Unscripted Scripture. I'm Jack. I'm here with my good friend, Zachary. Kind of stuffy, kind of...
Deep voices,
deep,
dude.
Deep voices this morning. Yeah. We're glad to be up early, though.
Yeah, I know.
It's a great feeling, man.
I told Jack I haven't remembered seeing him this early since like a fall retreat, like a retreat.
Man, as college students, we really don't get up this early, so here we go. No, pumped, though. I love how we get to start the day with the word and talking about, you know, God's church. It's gonna be really, really fun.
It's like morning devotion with the hack pack.
Yeah, that's great. It's awesome. Hopefully maybe most of you listen to us on your commute, so maybe this is your morning devotion. And for that we are grateful, but always getting into the word is more important. So yeah, this morning we are gonna be talking about the church, and we've titled this episode Bride, because that's how Christ sees the church, as his bride, and he is the bridegroom. And I guess we'll just start off with the scripture.
I have a bride.
You have a bride. You do have a bride.
Yeah,
how is your bride?
My bride's great, dude. She looks better and better every morning.
Yeah, really? That's good.
Yeah. That's hopefully I'll get some brownie points for saying it on the pod.
Yeah. And so this scripture that we're going to look at is the one, you know, husbands and wives, Zach and Jacqueline, use every day to honor each other and love on each other.
Yes.
And it's how relating our worldly marriages to Christ's union with the church. So we're just going to jump in right here. Ephesians 5, verse 21 says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." So here, Zach, we see the relationship between Christ and the church, and it's a pretty close one, no?
No. It shows how close it is, and it compares it to a marriage like we would see it, mm-hmm. like me and Jacqueline. It compares it to that, and it said, this is how Christ is. Like, I think growing up, I was like, why didn't Jesus have a wife? Like, I want to see Jesus with a wife, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the coolest celebrity couple out there. My man Jesus pulling that girl.
Dude, he could.
He definitely could. Oh my goodness, yeah. Oh, Jesus. My guy. But I think it's right there, it just shows you how special it is that Jesus is married to us, like us as the church.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking big C here. Big C.
Yeah, big C.
And we'll go through it. We'll say why. What's the difference between big C, little C church? But just to show that relation that I love you, like Jesus is saying, I love you. And I will, I mean, marriage is all about those small sacrifices. And for God to say, hey, like, I'm going to die for you. Like, I love you enough where I'm going to just give my life and I'm going to die for you. It just shows that relationship. And do we make small sacrifices for Jesus, for Christ, being a church? I don't know.
I mean, we're called, like, yeah, this verse talks about we as a church submitting to Christ. And it's not a submission, like, wives submitting to your husbands. It doesn't diminish the wives' presence or the wives' even authority over, like, the household. The husband leads the household, just as Christ leads us. But just because, you know, it's written like this in the scriptures doesn't mean the church or the wife is lowered in value. You know, Christ died for the church because he saw the opportunity and the power that the church has to influence people for his kingdom. And that's the whole point of this relationship, is that Christ is so in love with this institution that he's created, that he treats it like a bride. And Christ is called the bridegroom because of that. So I think this verse sets up great our podcast today and how we should view ourselves as a church family. I'm talking church family, not like your local church family. I'm not talking about, Zach and I aren't talking about our local church families. We're talking about our church family around the world, because everybody, no matter what you believe, no matter what denomination you support, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's what it means to be a part of Christ's church, is that you're not held down by what part of town you know, church you go to, or what, how you worship God, because it's the same God you're worshiping. It's the same God that the Presbyterians worship, that the Protestants worship, that Lutherans worship. Everybody worships the same God, and so we're all part of that same family, and Christ, that's how Christ sees us. So we don't want you to get tied down by what type of church you belong to. Just know that you are part of Christ's church.
It's like,
that's it.
It's like music here, guys. We got pop, we got rock, we got country, we got all this stuff, but it's all music. It's all stuff we put in our ears and we listen to. It's all stories. It's all the same thing. In the end goal is all the same. We love our God. It's just different ways. It's just put in different ways.
Yeah.
That's
one thing that Jenna, my girlfriend, and her family, her dad actually helped me understand this a little more. When we view the churches and we view different parts of church, and this can relate to anything in the Bible, there's personal preference and then there's biblical conviction.
Oh.
So the biblical conviction is the parts of the Bible and things that are undisputable amongst Christians. But personal preference are things that personally, individually, allow us to grow closer to God. Things that we find help us more than others in growing closer in our walk with God. Because for most of us, we're going through different things, but also the same things, but also in different ways. And so we do certain things that help us grow closer to him that might not help the person next to you. But regardless of those, me and the person next to me have to hold true to the same convictions of truths in the Bible that are undisputable. And so, like, let me give you an example of biblical convictions would be things like, you know, understanding the undeserved grace of Jesus, understanding that he died on the cross for our sake, and he saved us from sin, and he is our Savior. John 14:14, the verse that talks about the only way to the Father is through Jesus. That's the only way to the Father. That's undisputable amongst Christians. Yeah. That has to be the go-to. The fact that the church, the Big C Church, is set up to equip us to serve other people. The Great Commission, that's what we're called to do as Christians. As Christians, all Christians, not Protestant, Christian, not Presbyterian, all Christians are called to serve. And then that we can ask God for forgiveness of sin, because that's what Jesus did when he died on the cross, and the veil was torn. That barrier to God was opened, and us as Christians could go in and ask God for forgiveness ourselves anywhere we wanted to, any time we wanted to during the day. So those are convictions in our hearts in the Bible that we have to hold true to as Christians. And I think the opposite of that is like personal preference.
Yeah. So this is what you're saying. You're saying that, you know, you believe in this, you believe in this, and you believe in this, but we all believe that we're here to serve God and that we're doing God's works. That's what the Great Commission's all about. And I think it's one thing. I think we look at non-Christians and how can they not be confused at, like, oh, wait, I thought church was church. You mean there's Methodist, there's Presbyterian? Like, wait, what am I supposed to do here? you know, it's like an overload. Like, okay, yeah, I want to become a Christian. And they're like, well, what kind of Christian do you want to become? Like, man, where do you want to go? And I think that that's where a lot of people just were like, I thought I was just going to church. Mm-hmm. And I think as Christians, we need to understand what's going on here. So that way, when this comes up, we need to explain it to the non-Christians and be like, hey, yeah, it is confusing. I've been in it for a couple of years, but this is what the main goal is.
Yeah.
Our main goal is to serve people and to bring people, seek and save the lost. And we want to bring you in, and we want to show you just all this greatness that God has for you and Jesus has laid out and shown this world already.
Yeah, it's the same thing that Zach talked about earlier with the music we listen to, and the even the worship we give to God. Like, some of us don't really feel the connection to, you know, hymnal music as we do to contemporary bands in church, and that's okay. Like, one church can focus all on hymnals, and, you know, most likely it'll have a lot of old people in it, but that's fine, because they're worshiping God just the same way as you are with the contemporary music. You know, Baptist church is a whole lot different, and, you know, whether you're a revival church or a Protestant, or you think, you know, you can speak in tongues to God, and you feel like that draws you closer. Flag waving, you know, some churches do the flag waving, and then there's some that are people that are really silent, meditative, and those are examples of what personal preference means. Is something that is individual to you, doesn't cause you to, you know, walk away from the true convictions that the Lord calls us to in the Bible. It's just the way that you find connects you closer to God in church and giving glory to Him. And I think that's a big reason why there's so many different churches, is because people feel like something connects them in a different way than something else. You know, you feel differently singing hymns versus singing Toby Mac. You know, you feel different. There's different feelings there. But it's all for the glory of God. That's the bottom line. Like, that's what everything is. Every different church, man. And
well, while we're at music, let's just hit up Lecrae, man.
Yeah, bro. It's
we talked about him a couple of episodes. What was the last one we talked about him in?
Shoot.
Blessings.
Oh, yeah, Blessings.
We got to talk about him
because
he sings a song about blessings. It's like we just go through his albums and be like, oh, what's our next topic
dude,
here?
Because he's, he's a beautiful lyricist. Like, his lyrics are so beautiful. And that's all Christian rap and Christian music is. The lyrics are far more important than the tune.
Right.
I would say, you know, that's the goal, because it's a ministry. It's a form of ministry. Should we look at The Bride?
Give me The Bride.
Bride, man. Oh, this is a great song. The Bride, written for the church, about the church.
Give me some of them lyrics.
Yeah, I'm going to read through it. So this is by Lecrae. It starts out, he says, yes, she may look gritty. When her man come back, she going to look so pretty.
Whoa, let's stop there.
Yeah, stop there.
Dude. she may look gritty.
Yeah.
But when her man come back, she gonna look so pretty.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect, dude. First of all, we got the Flyers reference. No, I'm kidding.
That's right.
Like, he's calling the church out, like, saying the church is nasty, dude. The church is ugly right now. Always has, always will be, because people are figuring out what does God want? Like, what does God want in the church? How do we know which church is right? And Lecrae here is like, it's ugly now, but once Jesus comes back, it's going to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. He's going to make the new heaven and the new earth, back to our Revelation pod, and it's going to be beautiful, man. No problem at all. And he's talking, the she that we see here, like, he's calling she the church. He says, you might see her acting crazy. Be patient with her, though, because she's still God's baby. Before you diss her, get to know her.
Mm.
Before you diss her, get to know her. He's saying, you gotta know the church. If you're just sitting on the outside judging it, you're looking at it all wrong. Get to know the church for what it really is, not what the world makes it to be. He says, Jesus got a thing for her, and died just to show her. She's the church. She ain't bricks and buildings. She's all of God's people, men, women, and children. That right there, that's the difference between Big C Church and Little C Church. Little C is the building on the corner, the bricks, the mortar.
The one you pass every day.
Yeah. But this Big C Church is
the people inside.
And anywhere. The people anywhere, man.
People anywhere.
Wherever.
I was wrong.
No, you're right. The people inside. Like, the people are the church because the people are the ones that can influence others for God's glory, not the building itself. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We go to this in Revelation, we go to the verse. Then came one of the seven who had seven bowls full of seven last plagues. A lot of sevens right there.
Yeah.
And spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb."
Mm.
I mean, we talk about the Lamb and the Lion so many times and how just the Lion is this world. And the Lamb, like, God's our shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. And there's just so many references with that. And the wife of the Lamb, like, Jesus. Mm-hmm. There's so many great names for God and Jesus. And to think of him as the Lamb.
Yeah.
And just that he's going to, like, "I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb."
That is a good image, man. Wife of the Lamb.
You ever think of yourself as a wife? Like, Jesus has a wife and it's us.
Yeah. No, I mean, because, no, that would freak me out to think of it. Like, me as the wife. That's why it's cool to think, like, it's the whole. It's everybody. It's you and me and Jacqueline and Jenna and this person and this. Like, we're all the wife.
Yeah, but that makes me, I love it so much more because, yeah, I say all that and it is scary, but yeah, we are all that, but what can I do? I think of my wife, I think of Jacqueline, I think of all the stuff she does for me, she cooks for me, cleans for me,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a slob and she makes me look so good, the house looks so nice, and I think of all this stuff she does for me, all these extra efforts she does for me, and then I'm like, oh, wait, I'm a wife to Jesus? Like, what am I doing to Jesus? Like, am I giving back? Like, now Jesus isn't a slob, but he has chores for us to do. And are we putting the effort in? Are we doing them?
Yeah, that's a good point, man. That's awesome. Because I definitely think we don't do everything that God calls us to do. And the world sees us and like, what is this? Like, what are you guys doing? How can you say this one way and then say this another way? And that's where the church loses credibility. It loses trust. It loses, people lose faith in it. And they fall out because, you know, how does the church say that you love your neighbor, you love everybody, but you don't love homosexuals? You don't love, you know, people of different religions. And that's where the church gets a bad rap, man, because that's not how the church should act. We welcome everybody. Everybody's welcome. You welcome the Muslim. You welcome the Jew. You welcome the homosexual. You welcome the homeless. You welcome the hurting, the lost, because no sin is greater than another. Because my sin, you know, is just as bad as the murderer, man, that's locked up.
Yeah.
It's sin is sin is sin. That's what it is.
And that's why Jesus was so important. Like, have you ever tried to go, you know, an hour without sinning?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like let's today. We're doing this morning. Let's try to go the whole day without sinning.
Please, man. I definitely tried it. I've been, like, focused on it. I'm like, dude, no sinning today. No sinning. And, like, 5 minutes later, I'm like, wow, I thought that negative thought, and now...
Right. You judge someone, or you accidentally looked at someone... with a look in your eye. I don't know.
It's just impossible.
Like, and to think that Jesus did it 24 hours a day, 35 years, like,
yeah,
he did it over and over and over, like, seconds and seconds, like, went by, and Jesus stayed perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus stayed clean, he stayed white, he stayed pure, and for us to be like, like, let's sit back and realize how amazing that is, because we can't even last 5 seconds, dude, or 5 minutes, whatever you just said. Like, we're sinning all the time, and for us to have this guy as our husband, like, putting it in that perspective, that he loves us that much, that he first off died for us, but he married us. We are his church. Like, what are we doing? This guy is so big and we're so small, but he still continues to love us every day. And I think us as Christians, we need to step it up. Like, Jesus is our everything.
Yeah, man. Do you remember, like, when we did the, for our small group, and watched the Francis Chan video, and Chan talked about an image of him taking his son to death row and seeing all these inmates who had, you know, done atrocious crimes, taking his son there and, like, holding his, you know, shoulder and looking him in the eyes and saying, I'm going to send you to die so that all these men can be free. I'm going to give you up so that every one of these killers can be free. And that's for us. And that's what God did with Jesus. He said, I'm going to send you to this world just so you could die for those killers down there, for those people that hate me and that persecute me and that tear each other apart and tear the word apart and tear every their families apart.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you because I love all of them despite their atrocities. I love all of them so much that I'm going to send my one and only son to die for them. Man, I'm getting emotional here. I'm going to send him for them. That is love like no other, man. That is love like crazy. How, us as a church, can we look and look at God and say, you know, God, why do we have to, like, why are there so much division here? Why can't we, you know, I don't understand you. I don't understand this. I don't understand why Christians aren't acting like Christians. I don't understand, like, all this stuff. Dude, like, we have to understand bottom line, like, what he did for us. And the love that he has for the church, man. The love that Jesus had for the church and the goal that they had. You know, Peter was the rock. Peter was God. Man, Jesus picked Peter so that he could be a fisher of men, so that he could start this church, so that people could have a place, have a family to congregate and equip each other to then go out and serve God. And all of it, man, all of that planning that Jesus, that God did, was so that Jesus could die, was so that the church could be lifted up. That was God's mission. That was God's plan going into this, dude.
You look at God's forgiveness. You gave that great analogy of what Francis Chan said with sending his son and just the forgiveness that Jesus had to have just to send one of his, like, to send his son. I've never had a kid before, but I can only imagine, like, what that would be like. And speaking of what I just said, I can only imagine. I just watched the movie last night.
Oh, did you?
For, like, the fifth time.
Oh, so good.
But that was in the movie, you know. He said to his dad beat him and his mom ran away from him, the singer, Bart. And then he came back home and his dad was all nice and his dad was trying to win him back and do all this. And his dad was getting closer to God and he's like, I got a lot of questions, Bart. And Bart, being the singer who he was like, knew a lot about God. And Bart said, God can forgive you for all the stuff you've done, but I can't. And just because it was so heavy on his heart that his dad ruined his life in his mind in that moment, he was like, my dad ruined my life. And then, you know, the next scene, he finds out that his dad's dying, and then he tells his dad that I'm going to help you find the answers, and I think that's what we need to do. I think there's a lot of stuff where maybe it is someone you need to forgive. It's so funny how God's done things in my life where I guess hate is a strong word, but I've disliked someone and I remember when we were young, a youth pastor would have us pray, like, pray for the people we hate.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, within a year or a couple months, I would end up liking the person a lot and get a good relationship with them. I told the story about you and me in one of our lives, that when me and Jack first met, he came into the church and came to school, and I was like, you know, I felt like I was the guy. And then Jack came in, and, you know, he knew more stuff than me, played harder than me, was faster than me, was funnier than me. I don't know. He's shaking his head.
No
way. But that's just what I felt. And I was like, I don't like this kid. And then, you know, we're 13 years down the road, dude. We're the greatest of friends. I mean, you were my best man at my wedding. And I love you like a brother. I mean, more than a brother, dude. And we've been doing this podcast for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just great. But that's me going off right now. Back to the bride.
Yeah. Perfect, dude. And Paul sets up everything that you just talked about there, like laboring for the church out of love, because he understands, you know, what God did for it, what Jesus did for the church. He says in Colossians 1:24, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you." He's talking to the church. "And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me." So here in 27, he's saying, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, talking about the Lord's people, he's talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
You are chosen by God to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. And this mystery is Christ in you. Where you live right now, us as Christians, we live as with Christ in us, because we've accepted him as our Savior. We accepted what he did for us. He lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And so Paul's saying, use that. Use that mystery, the hope of glory, and share it with the Gentiles. Because if you're not, you're not living up to Christ's call, to God's call. You're not living up to God's call to share that mystery with everybody.
That's right. And I think we need to do what 125 says. Paul's saying, I have become its servant by the commission of God. Gave me present to the word of God in its fullness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need to make that commitment. Like, I am a servant of God.
Yeah.
I have been made a servant of God. I need to go out and do all the things that Jack said. Like, you and me, Jack, like, we bring these things out of the Bible every week.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing for you to do to become a servant is to read the Bible. Like, me and Jack can say all this stuff, but until you sit down, isolate yourself, and give God 5 minutes, he'll do wonders for you. And then you start your day. You don't want to get to a conversation with someone and they're like, so what's up with this? And like, mm-hmm. rely on the Holy Spirit, because mm-hmm. like, the Holy Spirit works through what you are doing. And if you're not reading your Bible and you're not devoted and into it, like, you might be sitting there waiting, like, oh yeah, I'm planting my seed, God, I'm watering it, you know, and you keep on watering it. Well, there becomes a time where you can overwater your seed and it just doesn't grow. So, like, you need to dive into the Bible. Maybe the Bible's your fertilizer, man.
Yeah, go water your neighbor's lawn, man.
Right, yeah, go water your neighbor's lawn now. Like, there's...
Right? You're done. You're good for now, you know. Go water your neighbor's lawn every day. Keep coming back to your lawn. Keep watering it. But at the same time, go to this neighbor, then go to this neighbor, then go to this neighbor.
That's right.
Yep. So you're watering the whole neighborhood, man. You're watering everybody, even yourself. That's the power of church, man. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's a follower. Christian means follower of Christ, not follower of Zach, not follower of Jack, not follower of John Piper, not follower of Francis Chan. You're a follower of Christ. So this is your truth. This is where we as a church need to look.
Jack's pointing at the Bible right now.
I'm pointing at the Bible because we can say, like, I'm good. Like, I listen to this pastor online, or I go to this church every week, and I'm good. I'm getting my fill. All of that is commentary. Everything that isn't straight from the Word is commentary. Everything a pastor preaches to you, it's commentary from the Word. How do you think they're preparing? How do you think Zach and I prepared for today? We looked at the Word itself. Right. That is the truth. If you're ever confused about, I don't understand why there's so many churches, I don't understand why the church is so divided, like, I hear one thing from this pastor, one thing from this pastor, one thing from this pastor, then just, all right, just stop. And this is, I'll point you to the real truth,
which is the Bible.
When you're so confused with all this talk, come right back here to the honest truth, which is the Word of God, because you can never go wrong. Always turn to Him when you're that confused, because you look at one pastor, then you look at another, you're just going to get more and more confused.
And I'll be the first to admit, maybe the second to admit, I'm awful at this. You know, dude, like, I am in the same boat that Jack was just talking about, like, going to a preacher and saying, all right, I'm good, you know?
Yeah.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. Like, and then, like, my Bible sits on my coffee table.
Yeah.
Until I have to study for unscripted scripture. And so it's like, it's a battle, man.
Mm-hmm. It's a battle.
Up and down, you know? So I'm right there with you guys. So if you guys have tips for me, send them our way.
Yeah, please. Please.
Yeah.
But, and, like, Paul talks about this too in Titus. When we look at everything, he's like, don't even worry. Don't worry about why there's so many different churches. Don't worry about, you know, different. Don't worry too much about all these different teachings. We're called to look out for false teachers. Look out for people that really clearly are not, you know, living by the biblical convictions that we talked about earlier about John 14:14 and the undeserved grace of God and the forgiveness of sin and equipment to serve. If they're straying from those truths, then you need to change direction. But he says in Titus 3:9, he says, avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. You know, he's saying we are designed to do good for God's sake. You know, it says, 3:5, he says, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Not because of righteous things we had done. We were killers, man. Because of his mercy, he saved us. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things right here, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. And then he goes on to say, you know, avoid any quarrels and arguments about these things, about things that aren't that truth, because the rest of it doesn't matter. If you know what Jesus did for you and you are justified by that and you believe in that, go out and devote yourselves to doing that for his sake. The rest of it doesn't matter, man. The rest of it is, it's not profitable.
Amen.
Man. That's it.
You really do like Titus.
I love Titus, man. It was awesome.
I think I should start to like Titus too, because that was wow.
Titus is crazy. Yeah, I got one more line here from the bride to talk about that the church it's not perfect, and we're always working to become better. And as the world changes, there's new challenges, there's new things that the devil throws at us to try to take down the church and reduce its value, reduce what God made it to be. Lucrece says she's affected by depravity, which means wickedness. once lived in sin and enslaved by her lust, folks catch her slipping and they turn away disgusted. She's a work in progress. Christ is the head of her, and he washed her clean with the words that he said to her. And that's the truth that we have to stand by, is that we are working as a church family, Big C, to do Christ's work despite our grittiness and our ugliness as a church, as an institution. We're doing the best we can until Christ comes back and makes it all clean again.
Yeah.
You know, always working, because Zach said, we are never perfect. We try to be sinless. We try to be perfect. We will fail miserably if we believe that we can be perfect. You know, but yet we still long for becoming more like him, which is perfection. It's crazy. It's so messed up.
Well, yeah, and it just begins to show you... Ah! I lost my train of thought.
Perfect.
We'll just end it there, guys. Man, it's going to come back to me. I know it is. I'm going to get mad. But thank you so much for listening. God is the goal. I got it. Remember it. There we go.
Boom.
Nice. If it was so easy, you know, if we didn't have a job on this earth, our job was to accept Jesus as our own, if to accept Christ, don't you think we'd be died and go to heaven as soon as we do that, because we did our job?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's our purpose, to accept Jesus into our heart? No, that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to seek and save the lost and a couple of other things. But I mean, that's the big one we're toning on right now is, yeah, you accept Jesus into your heart. You're a Christ follower. You look at him. You love him. He's your wife. Nope, we're his wife. He's our husband. And so do our job here. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a purpose. Let's fulfill our purpose that God has given us. Guys, this is Unscripted Scripture. We love you guys. We love you guys. You guys... keep on filling us with these awesome comments. You text us, you DM us, and we love it. Keep reaching out. Abby, our amazing producer, puts all that stuff down in our description so you guys can check it out. But other than that, just be thinking this week. Jack, what should they think about? Final remarks.
Thinking about what our true calling is to, as a church family, as Christians. Preach, pray, and be ready to do whatever is good for the sake of his gospel.
Preach, pray, and do whatever is ready to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we're going to close it out. So have a good week, guys. Goodbye.